Amen, amen. And our big kids are invited to go to their program now, grade 4, 5, 6. You can head on back to that. Pastor Rebecca has some amazing things in store for you today. Great are you, Lord. Our God is good. Amen? Amen. What a wonderful and amazing thing for us to sing and declare together. Powerful, powerful words and a powerful reminder for us of who God is and that He is in control. Now, well, as we begin this morning, as we turn to God's Word, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 8 this morning. We're going to read the passage we're going to be looking through together. 2 Peter chapter 3, tiny little letter right at the end of the book. It's hard to find. Start from the back and flip that way. You'll find it faster. 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 8 and see what God has in store for us this morning. Let's read together here. Peter says this to us. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promises, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. God is patient and He is gracious, but the end will come. And so we are called to live lives of holiness, godliness, spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Are we living like the promises of God are real? Are we living like God is who He says He is? God is gracious and His promises never fail. Amen? Amen. Well, again, as we said in the announcement time, we had an amazing day last week, worshiping and celebrating together. We had our AGM after the service, and we had a great response, as we always do. A great group stayed to speak and pray into the things that God is calling us into as a church. It's so fun to see the energy in this church around our mission and our vision and our purpose together here. We celebrated some new members that we added over the last year, that we're excited to be a part of this conversation in a new and a deeper way. We affirmed our elder nominees to our board for their coming terms. Your elder team is so amazing. And I hope you know that. It is such a joy to work together with them. Our meetings are full of unity and laughter. I hope you know that you can be so proud of that team. They love this church, and they love the kingdom of God so much. And they are so passionate about seeing this church pursue the things that God is calling us to do. They want us to walk together with boldness, filled with love and care, pursuing unity and peace as we bring the presence of God into the world. Pray hard for your elders. They have accepted a deep calling to responsibility for our church. Pray protection for them, wisdom and guidance for them, and joy for them as they serve this church family and sacrifice to help us follow well together. We affirmed our budget for this coming year. Our ministries are growing. Our staff team is growing. We are investing in leadership development, in discipleship, in the next generation of pastors and leaders here. We are pouring into the community and into the church and the kingdom around the world. And we are seeing the fruit of your faithfulness in supporting this ministry with your time, with your energy, with your prayer, with your resources. The kingdom is growing. And God is growing his church here at LFC to be a part of that work. And another thing that we did in that time is we affirmed together a time of sabbatical for me next year. From January to March 2025, I'm going to be stepping away from my daily responsibilities here for a time of focus and vision and purpose. Looking forward to the next season in the life of our church. Pastor Scott is going to be taking over the bulk of the preaching duties, and he and Pastor Rebecca, Amber, and our apprentices and our amazing elders will be carrying the load of leadership and care during that time as well. We have an incredible staff and elder team. And it is so good to be able to step back with full confidence that the life and ministry of this church will continue forward as we as a church family carry this load together. We do ministry together here every day. And so I'm really excited for that time. This will be my second sabbatical here. And it was an amazing experience the first time. It's strange and it's different. I love my work here. And I love just the structure that work gives life. And I don't feel tired or burnt out in the least. Serving this church is life-giving. It is joyful and fun. Even when we walk through hardships and challenges and we discuss important things, God's Spirit is so alive here that it is such a privilege to be a part of serving this place. So this is not a vacation or a break. It's not about recovery or keeping it together. This is a time of rest and focus to listen and learn and try to hear where God is leading us. And that's something that we do every day as a staff team. That is something that we, and I hope you, your leaders and elders, that we are praying into every day. But there's something that we talk about that we call the tyranny of the urgent. And that is true in all of our lives. It's not just in ministry. But in ministry, Sunday's always coming. And it's as much as we plan forward and prepare forward and dream forward and pray forward, when you are dealing with the things that are always in front of you as well, it can be hard to have that vision and to be able to step back from that treadmill, from that daily and weekly routine allows us to see things in a different way, to see things more clearly. And it allows me to spend that time with Jesus in the Spirit, just hearing his heart for this place, for our community, for our place within this city, how he desires to use us there. And it's not about dramatically changing everything. Okay, we're going to start, instead of Sunday mornings, we're going to start meeting on Tuesday nights and we're going to turn the whole sanctuary around and face the other way. And it's not that we're doing something wrong and we need to fix it. But it's about deepening our purpose and our understanding of the things we're already doing, to walk forward with humility and grace and purpose and passion, studying and praying. I'm going to be reading and learning. I'm going to be meeting with other pastors and leaders, learning about the church more widely, seeing the ways that God is working through them. One of the most valuable things I got to experience last time was just worshiping in other places. Seeing the Spirit alive among those bodies of believers too, the other churches in town. God is doing good things. Churches in Edmonton and around the area, I learned so much. Things that we took and used here, good ideas that other churches are doing. And I also saw things in the way that they operate that made me really excited about who we are and the way we do things, the way God is working here. My sabbatical last time was about a time of transition. Pastor Dennis had received this word that he felt that God was calling us to switch roles, that we were supposed to enter a time of succession in the leadership of our church. We were praying through what my role would look like in the future here. And that was a big part of my sabbatical time, is praying and preparing into that. This time, it's about deepening the vision and moving forward, stepping into the next season of life in this church. And I am extremely excited and very thankful for the support of this church toward this time. And my family and I, we're going to be around here during that time on Sunday morning sometimes. I'm not just at this church because it's my job. We love LFC. We love worshiping here. And we don't want to be completely cut off from that. But there will be Sundays that we're going to be away as well to do some learning and seeking. The board will be walking with me, and I'm going to be drawing in people that are going to speak into my life, speaking support and wisdom, and I hope you'll be a part of that too. That together we can hear what Jesus is saying to us, but that's a ways off yet. And it'll go fast too, but pray forward with me toward that time, that God will protect and prepare us for what He has next. And I know that He has amazing things prepared for us. But this morning, again, we're turning to the Word here, and we're coming to the end of our time in the letters of the Apostle Peter, looking at what it means for the Word to be truly alive within us. What does it mean to live in the Word, to walk with the Word, to be changed by and filled by the Word? Peter is the leader of the early church, along with Paul and James and some others, but he was called by Jesus himself to lead the church. And after 30 years of leadership, guiding and protecting and helping to shape the church, what it is and what it does, here at the end of his life and at the end of this second letter, he lays out for us the path forward. He's talked about the transforming of our minds, about following well together, walking without fear in the face of persecution, unity and peace, relationship and sacrifice. And now, as he looks forward and looks into the future to the life of the church beyond him, Jesus has not returned as fast as any of them thought he would. And so Peter sees the church stretching into the future farther than he thought it would go. And he's telling us what he sees and what we should do. What does that mean for us to carry this legacy forward, to carry this mission forward, to build the kingdom going forward? And he starts in chapter 3 with a warning that we looked at last week, that these scoffers would come trying to pull us off the path, to fill us with doubt. It's been years, decades, since Jesus said he was going to come back. And Jesus has still not come back. Why do you still believe? How can you still wait? Verse 4, where is this coming he has promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of the world. And it has. Now thousands of years later, nations rise and fall. The very Roman Empire that was so invincible and persecuted Peter and the church so terribly, it fell. Crops grow and droughts come. We are born and we die and the earth keeps spinning. When will God come back? Will he at all? Was it all just a fantasy? And in all this uncertainty and fear, Peter reminds us, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's grace stays his hand. His love holds back the fire, because he is giving every possible chance to every last person to see and believe that Jesus is Lord, that there is forgiveness in his blood and freedom in his arms if we will confess our sin and believe he is raised from the dead. Our God is wise and all-knowing, and he is perfectly patient, waiting even when we don't understand. What is he waiting for? Our hearts are so broken and so lost. The evil that we do to one another is so terrible. How can he wait any longer? But he still sees the image placed within us, the reflection of his being in our hearts, and the blood of Jesus covering our sin, washing away our betrayal. And he waits for every last person to have every last chance to accept his love again. God is so good. But he will not wait forever. Eternity is absolute, and his will shall be done. He is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. God sees all, and all will be revealed in fire. All the hidden things, all the secret things, all the things we think no one will ever know. All the things that even we try to hide from in ourselves. The lies we tell ourselves. God will reveal all for his glory and his holiness to be fulfilled. Peter is telling us this. Peter was with Jesus. He walked with him. He heard him speak. He saw the things that Jesus could see in people. Jesus saw right through people, right through Peter himself, the hidden thoughts, the hidden things that Jesus saw, that Jesus revealed right before Peter's eyes. Peter knows the things of God, and he is telling us, warning us, preparing us to understand that our lives, our choices, our behavior, our actions matter now, because they matter in eternity. And he wants us to see that the way we live now matters so much more than we understand. And so, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Such a plain and simple question in light of what he has just said, framing for us these eternal consequences and the destruction of reality itself, everything overturned and remade. And so, what kind of person do you think you should be? What a question to ask. Do we think that way? Is that how we see things? Do we see our lives on that eternal timescale? Do we see the spiritual impact of our everyday actions, of our choices? Do we see the hand of God at work in us and all around us, directing and protecting, providing and guiding? Jesus did. That's what he saw. That's how he lived. That's how he saw the world, how he saw his own life. Or do we ignore all that and just see everything in our own selfish, small way, hinging on us all the time? My own efforts, my righteousness, my abilities, my resources. What I want, what I think I need, what I think I deserve, my rights, my entitlement, my feelings, my desires. Is my life all about me or about God? Do we see God at work? Do we believe that he is really with us? Or do we come to a room like this for an hour a week or so and then kind of leave him here because I've got the rest handled? Peter's trying to help us see what Jesus himself showed him. What he saw as he walked with Jesus for 3 years on this earth and with the Spirit for another 30. The presence of God alive in the world and in us. The reality of the power of God ever present. He saw miracles. He saw prophecies come true. He heard teaching like nothing he had ever known. He saw Jesus transformed before his very eyes into heavenly form. And he saw him raised to life again. Even death does not hold us because of what Jesus has done. So, what kind of person do you think you should be? In light of all of that, what kind of person should you be if Jesus is who he says he is? And Peter says, you ought then to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. We're a part of what God is doing. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promises, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Holy and righteous, awake and aware. If we are made new and we are being made new and all things will be made new, then we should live like it. Eyes laser focused on Jesus, hearts full of his grace and truth, forgiveness and love. Walking with an unshakable boldness and confidence, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, bearing its fruit, speaking his words and bringing life to the people around us. Because we look forward to what he has promised, a new heaven and a new earth, a new home prepared for us by the King himself. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. Because letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant or unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Peter is not speaking alone here. He is drawing in this other authority of God. The Spirit has spoken through the other leaders of the church, and Paul especially, and he says all of these things too. Colossians chapter 3, set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Romans 12, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. 2 Thessalonians 2, so then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we have passed on to you. Colossians chapter 2, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Over and over and over, Peter and Paul and John and James call us to the same thing. Seek justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Be transformed and live transformed. Flee from sin and pursue the righteousness of God. Don't distort the scriptures. Read and learn and submit to them. Let the Spirit speak through them to your heart, that you can be changed and made new. Walk together. Learn together. Study together, that the Spirit can speak through the people of God too, as we hear Him together and correct and refine each other. Is that your heart? Is that your goal? Is that your purpose? To know God, to know His Word, to live in line with His teaching, filled with the Spirit, freed from your sin, and pursuing a life of holiness. Does that describe your life? Is that what you want? Is that what you're about? Is that what we are pushing one another toward? Because that's what mattered to Peter. And he saw things beyond what we can imagine. And it changed him forever. He was a fisherman, like his father before him and his father before that, grandfather, great-father, that was his life, that was his job. It was planned and organized. And he saw something in Jesus that changed everything. His whole life was different. He left everything to follow the path of Jesus. It's the only thing he could do. Is that what you're doing? Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Jesus is it. All of this is about Him. Everything we've said, everything we're studying, everything we want to understand is found in relationship with Jesus. And the last words of Peter to the church are a plea for us to be faithful and a cry of worship, declaring the power and glory of Jesus forever. Therefore, dear friends, the friends that he was thinking about, the friends that he was picturing, that he had made in his life and served alongside, the churches he's writing for, therefore, dear friends, And then those friends, now stretching forward, years and decades and millennia, the dear friends sitting in this room right now, Peter's dear friends, his brothers and sisters, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you called Peter to follow. That Jesus saw something in him and called him into a life beyond anything he could have possibly imagined. We thank you for his faithfulness, for his vulnerability, for the stories we have of his incredible boldness and incredible failures. And God, in his life, we see your grace lived out, your forgiveness extended when he betrayed you, when he failed. And you still called him to be the rock upon which you were going to build your church. You saw in that brash, bold young man leadership, an eternal impact for your kingdom. And God, he carried that mantle faithfully for decades in the face of the harshest persecution. And he wrote us these things, speaking of unity, faithfulness, love, passion, growth, discipleship, and worship. Father, we thank you for these words. And we pray that we, as his dear friends that he wrote to, not even knowing us, that we will worship with him in all eternity. We thank you for this warning and this challenge that we would be found faithful to, that we would carry forward this mantle of leadership in the kingdom, service and faithfulness and discipleship in the kingdom. We pray your spirit upon us as it was upon him, that we would be filled with that boldness and confidence to bring your hope and love into the world around us, into the lives of the people around us, that we would see them like Peter saw them, like you saw them, and that we would be filled with love, knowing, God, that you are being so patient and so gracious, that you want each and every one of them to hear and know how much you love them, and that you are waiting and giving every opportunity for them to respond. But God, you will not wait forever. Fill us with urgency. Fill us with urgency that we would carry forward your gospel now, because we don't know when you're going to return. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.